Oh,
I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for popping on.
Yay.
I know.
We only have a few more minutes left, right?
No, we just started. Hey, Elizabeth.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Thank you.
And Jessica, woohoo. Is someone driving? I thought I heard driving. It's kind of spotty. Can you guys hear me okay?
I can, yeah.
Okay. I think Yvette just, well, I don't know what happened to Yvette. She's muted. I don't know if she did that or I did that.
I did it, so you wouldn't hear the driving sound.
Oh no, that was you. Okay. Where are you driving to?
Well, I'm actually driving to the chiropractor.
Oh, nice. How good is that going to be?
Yeah.
So, I need to get there this week, too.
Yeah.
Hey, Jessica.
Hey, guys.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. Are you having a day off?
Off from the hospital, yes, but I am working on other stuff.
Oh, man. It never ends, right?
It doesn't. Yeah.
Like, what is a day off, right?
Yeah, I need to learn how to relax. I've found out I'm not very good at that this past month. So
that's funny you say that, because I worked myself
into a little bit of a like head cold and not feeling good. So I know that means I'm a little stressed out.
Yeah. And you've overdone it. It's so funny. I always heard about like all these people saying, oh, when you have kids, you feel guilty about taking, and I'm like, I'll never feel like that. But it's true. Like, if I have an hour, if I'm not doing something productive when they're sleeping, I just like it, you beat yourself up. I felt really bad. I read a book for like an hour the other day, and it's so weird how you feel like that's a waste. I don't know why we're like that. It's just interesting.
Moms, I think, are bad at that for sure.
Yeah, I'm trying to find balance too. Are you feeling any better or?
Yeah, I'm a little bit better. Yeah. But it's just, you know, it's almost embarrassing. Like, I'm a health coach and I'm supposed to be healthy, right? But I'm like, I'm a fraud.
No, not at all. I think it makes us real. Like, I know sometimes, like, I've just owned it in the past. If we're doing a show and I sound like I'm like, I'm not perfect right now. Like, it's just being human. I think people connect to that more, actually, you know, because what is that quote that says, like, I'm going to totally butcher it, but you know, it's like, basically you have to experience something in order to be able to teach it or relate to people. I think it's good.
Something like, if you walk a mile in someone's shoe,
that one too. And I think there's something that someone said to me that was like that, but it was also like, oh gosh, you know, I don't remember how it went, but it changed me. Cause I thought my best girlfriend, Christy, she is a health coach as well. And she has probably the worst case of rheumatoid arthritis I've ever witnessed. And she feels like, she's always commenting on how she doesn't feel equipped, or she feels like she's not in that place of being able to help people when she struggles herself. But you know, like, all her clients, they're always so grateful that she's just honest about where she's at. It doesn't mean that she's, because she's not giving up, she's trying all the natural stuff, but my gosh, like, it's pretty bad, but it doesn't stop her, you know. So I don't know, I think people want to see that real people get sick too, and we treat it different and we throw different things at it probably than the conventional people. But I'm drinking kombucha, by the way. Have you guys had this whale bird? It's so good. It's lavender lemonade. It's like my favorite new thing. So yeah, Jessica, I'm curious though, what do you do when you get down? Like, what's your line of defense?
Jessica had commented that she was lagging a bit. So she might be.
Yeah, I think you're lost. Oh, there she is. Yeah, Yvette.
Yeah, sorry guys. When you guys are talking, like, I'll hear you for a minute and then it stops. So if I don't answer a question, I apologize.
No. I'm glad. I all of a sudden I thought we lost you for good. No, I'm glad. I was just curious, like, how you deal with colds.
Well, I throw every herb at it. Usually I start chopping up garlic and, you know, give them a little smash and then pop them like pills. I think it's lagging on your guys' end. I'll just keep talking. Hopefully you can hear me. I do the oregano.
Shoot.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Garlic, oregano spray, North American herb and spice. I do bone broth. I just found a new adaptogen herb blend that I can make into like a latte. I've got it in here with a little bit of coconut milk. I need to stay on that forever. I haven't been doing well with adaptogens and I need to. And then, yeah, whatever else. Bone broth, nasal spray, garlic. I do all kinds of stuff, just whatever, wherever I've got handy.
Do you ever
lozenges?
Oh yeah. Do you ever do the IV therapies, like the vitamin C's or anything, or do you stick away from them?
I gave those for a while. I was working with an integrative doctor for about 9 months, and gave those, but they're so expensive. I did get one, and that's my issue, is that I want to try a lot of things, but I have to get the money first. So I did get one. It's been about 4 weeks now. It was $200. That's like,
for a bag.
I think I'm lagging again.
Oh, no. It's okay. He'll come back. Yeah, there you are.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, no.
$200. That's like all my extra money for the whole month.
I know. It's so crazy. They have
done.
Oh my gosh. They have these mini bags that I've gotten and they're still like 90 bucks.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Now, if I could, I've never tried giving myself an IV. I know you can buy stuff online. And is that where you guys have gotten?
No, there's a about
okay.
Way, but yeah.
Okay. But yeah, I've never given myself an IV. So
yourself an IV, do you need to know? I mean, you probably need to know what you're doing, like you, right?
I've lost you again.
Oh, shoot. Are you there? I think she's coming back. Oh,
she's lost, but I found again.
I know. Oh, well, she'll come back.
Yeah.
Are you there?
I'm on the Wi-Fi.
Oh, it's okay. I know. I had a really rough week. Oh my gosh, everyone's freezing. Yeah. Sorry. Jessica, real quick before you freeze up, do you need to know, like, can the average person can't give themselves an IV? Probably you have to know what you're doing, like you.
Probably. I mean, you could learn easily. I mean, that's a good, I guess, survival skill to know.
Yeah. Do you think, I mean, is that something you could really damage your veins if you don't know what you're doing?
I mean, you could hit an artery, you could hit like a tendon. You want to kind of know what you're looking for.
Okay. Has anybody seen, it's so kind of creepy, but Justin found this thing where you can practice like stitches and things on like a fake skin to try to like, in case you need to survive and like stitch yourself up. Have you seen that before?
The little kit, no. I lost you there. Yeah, I've got a little kit, but yeah, all that stuff is good to have.
I think so. Yeah. Have you ever had to use it?
I haven't. Okay. No.
I think that's something that's really good though. Like we're going to invest in that because you just never know. I mean, sometimes you're out camping or you might need it for that, but also it's like with the way things are getting, you just never know if you're going to need to not go to a doctor.
Right. You may not be allowed in.
I know.
Anymore.
I know.
Yeah, it's good to know. Now, I've been an ER nurse and I've got some skills, but the best people with stuff like that. Oh, I lost you again.
It's okay. We can hear you.
the best people to know.
I'm still here.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
For skills like that would be like paramedics, because they actually have to, you know, like go out into people's homes or on the roadside and patch people up there. So I think paramedics probably have good skills, and then probably like missionary doctors and nurses that go into third world areas have good skills with stuff like that. But yeah.
Oh, so make friends in your neighborhood.
Yes.
Who have different
skills. Find out who. I've got my network. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a couple firemen medics in our neighborhood. I'm like, that actually is good to know.
Good. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. Wow. Interesting. Thank you for that. That's cool.
Make them your friends.
Yeah. They already are. I was going to give one of them my thornless blackberry plant has like sprouted up all over the yard, and I'm going to dig them up and give them out to people. Oh, it's okay. I know it's awful connection. I'm sorry. But yeah, we're making friends. Hi, Joanne. Are you there too?
I am.
How are you? Where are you coming from?
Hold on. I got to get you back on the screen.
Yeah, no worries.
I am, doing two things at once.
Wow, aren't we all? I get it.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. Well, I'm from, now I'm from Dayton, Nevada, which is near Carson City, Nevada, Lake Tahoe.
Oh, nice. My favorite.
And I used to be in California for many, many years. I used to live in Lake Tahoe.
Oh, on the
California side. I got priced out of there, if you can believe it.
Well, I do believe it. Tahoe, we go there every summer. I grew up going to Tahoe. It's so cool. I miss it.
Oh, you did?
Well, we're still going to go this summer again. Last summer, we missed with the whole COVID thing with my family and whatever. But that is my favorite summer memory. We go there for a week or two every summer.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
How's the Nevada, like, how's the politics and all that in Nevada? What's going on with you guys?
Well, unfortunately, it's always been a red state until this last election. The governor is very Democrat and looks like Las Vegas has really taken over and is very woke.
Yeah.
And they're very powerful in their votes. And where I'm living in Dayton and this whole Northern Nevada thing, we are pretty conservative. They still vote Republican here.
Okay.
And so we don't have quite as much wokeness going on, but it's still very uncomfortable.
Oh, man. Are you like, do you ever miss California, or is it more like are you glad you're out? I'm just curious.
I had good friendships there and I was making a little money there, and I like the geography better because I'm getting used to Nevada. It's been a year now and it's so, you know, dry and sagebrush and all that. But I'm so used to it because living in Tahoe, everybody, no matter how much money you have, you all have to come down to Carson City and Reno to shop.
Totally.
So I'm kind of used to it. It's just, I think it was prettier where I was, which was near Placerville.
Oh, yeah.
Waterville, around in there.
Beautiful.
But the home I was renting got sold, and I just was in a position to not be able to afford to stay in California unless I wanted to live in a dump. So, or a mobile home or something, you know.
Or a tent.
So I have a nice little home here, and it's very comfortable, very quiet, and conservative enough, so I don't feel like I'm being shunned very often. And I do keep my mouth shut as much as I can, but I also really love to share the message of what Dr. Bergman and you people are doing.
Thank you.
I got to look into this next thing, the sovereignty.
Yeah.
Becoming a sovereign person.
It's hard. We learned about that years ago, and we're nowhere near figuring it out. It's quite an ordeal, but you have to really get to know your stuff, and you have to be prepared to defend it. And I mean, becoming sovereign is really, like, I think that's what we all should be trying to do, but oh man, it's step by step, isn't it?
I imagine. I have a tendency to be a real I'm intimidated by people, and I don't have a whole lot of courage to stand up for myself. However, through this COVID deal, I'm really stepping out of my comfort zone a lot.
That's interesting. Why do you, how and why do you feel empowered by that? I'm just curious. Like, what changed in you?
Well, first of all, I'm smart enough to listen to people like Dr. Bergman. And of course, because of that, I've found many others who feel the same way he does. So I know the truth about mask wearing and about the shot,
mm-hmm.
not the vaccine.
Right. Right.
And the politics behind it all. And the games that are being played and the fear that they're pushing. And I am not buying any of it. So, right. So I've been walking into stores with no mask on.
What's the blowback? Do you get people?
Well, nowadays, no blowback. Places like we go to Lowe's and Home Depot a lot because we're kind of remodeling the house.
Sure.
And they have let their employees know, don't bug anybody that's not wearing a mask.
Really?
Yeah. And no one says a word to you. Now, when this first started, I happened to walk up to a nursery. I was going to go in the gate with my service dog.
Mm-hmm.
And this customer blows by me and says, where's your mask, you fucking idiot? And I said, I have a medical exemption. And he said, yeah, right. You have a medical exemption, you fucking idiot. And I said, God bless you, sir. But that's really the only time anybody's been nasty to me.
Unreal.
It's getting better now because I think everybody's kind of getting sick of this and wondering if it's really necessary. But they're so afraid to take those masks off.
I know. Well, that's what we keep talking about. We're like, you know, no amount of shots, you know, is going to make people feel. I don't know anybody that's had them that's taken off their mask yet. Like, it's mm-hmm. crazy. They're because the fear is just so driven into their brain.
Yeah, wouldn't it be something if they started to figure out this has all been a lie?
I don't even know what people would do.
I know, huh?
It's, you know, that terrifies me more than almost people taking the shot is if they wake up after the fact. I mean, you're kind of screwed, you know?
Yeah.
I hate to say it.
I just read a story about what's going on in India.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I know.
They do not have more cases from getting COVID. They have more cases from dying from the vaccine.
Right, right. Well, and then did you see that whole thing with Prince Harry hosting that concert the other day in LA?
I didn't know
that. Well, I guess, so he, along with a bunch of, you know, celebrities that gave shows and played music, it was basically to try to convince people to take the vaccine, if you want to call it that. Yeah. So they're basically saying we're all, you know, making people feel bad or we're all doing this for each other. We need to really ramp up people getting this. And then he brought up the India thing and he's just like, this is what happens when, you know, yeah, he used that. And of course, I'm like, of course he used it. They're going to spin that every way to Sunday, you know, like.
Absolutely.
It made me, it's just awful. It's like, there's so many like double, triple plays going on where if it looks like something could be used to wake up people, which some of it is. They spin it in like four different directions and use it in ways that I never even saw coming to make people feel like it's like three levels of deception. It's crazy.
Yeah. You know, I just heard Bill O'Reilly on the Dennis Prager show.
Yeah.
You know Dennis Prager at all?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he just wrote a book called Killing the Mob.
Okay.
Ooh. And you know what? He talked about, he touched on the mob is still very alive and well. They have everything to do with this influx of immigrants. And they've got the Border Patrol so busy taking care of immigrant children and women that the cartels are bringing in all the drugs behind their backs, basically. And so, of course, the mob is probably in charge behind all this stuff that's going on with the government and keeping us in a, you know, kind of a totalitarian regime now.
Yeah.
So it's just amazing how much evil is going on that we didn't know about until President Trump kind of opened the Pandora's box.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I knew some stuff in the last decade or 12 years that I've been more awake, but he was a big turning point for me too. I felt like, and you know, I look back at some of the stuff he said and he put it out there without putting it out there because he is also watching his back and maybe, you know, he's been blackmailed, I'm sure, to kind of tone it down. But like some of the stuff he said, you know, how he said, like, they're not after me. They're after you. I'm just in their way. I go, what did he mean by it? You know, you start to go, he was really trying to put it out there, you know?
And I was listening. Sorry.
No. Go ahead.
Another man that was on Dennis Prager. I don't remember his name. Ashley something. He lives in Israel now. He's written a book that just got released.
Okay.
The Gray Wink has to do with the New York Times and how they've been lying for so many years.
What's it called, The Gray?
Gray Wink, because okay. Gray means newspapers like them started out being fair and balanced. And then they have, so they're winking, we're pretending we're fair and balanced now, but we're not. And he talked about all those things, like when Trump called out fake news, mm-hmm. he said, absolutely, the news has been fake for so long now. And I can't remember the years he said it started to get much worse, but the Vietnam War was one of them.
Yeah.
A couple of writers for the Times decided they were going to change the narrative. This is what we're dealing with.
I know. It just feels like we're living in a giant video game. It's insane.
It does,
doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Have you read the Epoch Times or the Epic Times, that newspaper?
Absolutely. Every morning I read that and then the Wall Street Journal and see what they're saying.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Interesting.
Now, I don't retain it all.
I know.
I know. Sorry. I know.
Like, but stuff changes every 5 seconds too. There's too much info now. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think social media has been a real detriment in so many ways.
I know. Are you on social at all or no?
I'm on Facebook, but I've gotten very quiet. Mm-hmm. I've gotten lambasted for very kind of pretty innocent stuff. Like, you really think it's okay for children to wear a mask?
Ooh.
Do you realize? And all these European doctors were talking about why it's a bad idea. Mm-hmm. I got lambasted by someone that's known me for years for being a Trump supporter and QAnon and da-da-da. I go, you got all that out of my comment? Well, I'm
sorry. Wow, to read all that into that. Interesting.
I just said, well, I'm sorry we don't agree, but I respect your opinion. And she said, have a good life, Joanne. Exclamation point. This has happened more than once, but some of the other ones are real silent. They've just stopped getting a hold of me because they knew I voted for Trump.
Hmm. Gosh, it's so divisive. Things are so crazy right now, isn't it?
Oh, it's incredible. I keep waiting for the big blow up.
Oh, I know. When do you think it's coming?
I don't know. I mean, a lot of people think, Simon Parks, P-A-R-K-E-S, said there should be, Trump will be back in charge either July 4th or August 31st. And he lined out how that's going to happen. And I also think God's in charge and he's working underneath in the churches, strengthening people's, you know, resolve and so on. I just think something's going to change because it had to get this ugly.
Yeah.
Like Sodom and Gomorrah for people to go, I don't like what's going on, even though I don't believe in God or the Bible or whatever, Trump. But we got to change something. This isn't right.
Yeah. I know I'm not going to lie. I get super discouraged and think, is that really going to happen? Or is that a possibility? You know? And then I go, gosh, like everything, I've been reading so much of the Bible lately and my faith has been pretty solid through this, but I'm like, gosh, am I just like for not believing and living in the, you know, living in the unseen is so hard to live in versus what we see. What we see looks like destruction and death and they're winning and blah, blah, blah. But the reality is you're right. I mean, God is in control. God can do anything. And every story about God turning something around when it looked just like you were at a dead end, you know, it's happened before and it can happen completely today. So I'm trying to keep the faith too.
Yeah, I do, because it's really true. Your words are not wasted when you're talking to God at all. And you can be just talking from your heart, too.
Yeah.
I've had some big things change with my sons and then with a marriage I had. He wanted to divorce. He was in love with someone else.
Hmm.
And I had this pastor teach me. He said, I'll teach you how to save your marriage. Hmm. And it was through Ephesians prayer. I would say every time I'd get a little upset during the day thinking about what's he doing, how's it going. And I just kept praying that prayer and it took 8 months. And that man came back and I was able to say to that woman, I thought you loved Jesus. And this is what you're doing, trying to steal my husband.
Hmm.
Anyway, those things made me go, God really is. He wants the right things to happen, but he's got to do it in such a way that you get it.
Yeah. And I completely agree. And that can be painful to go through, but it changes you.
Yeah, and here's kind of a cool line I just thought of. This pastor taught me this. You know, to ask God to give the information he wants you to have to train you in a way that your personality gets it. Because we're all so different.
Ain't that the truth? It's so personal. It's so personal. Yeah. Hey, John. Is this John?
I don't know.
I don't know. I see someone. I hear a man.
There you go.
I don't know. Yeah, Joanne, that's powerful, though. That's, how long have you been married?
Well, to that man, he's passed away.
Hmm.
It was about 15. No, we were only married 4 years when that happened. We ended up being married for 17 years. He died of Alzheimer's, which is how I started figuring out what the drug companies are doing to people.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know how I found Dr. Bergman. I wish I could remember, but I've listened to practically everything and started to put two and two together and knew that's why my husband got Alzheimer's. He was a doctor who did everything the doctors told him to do.
Huh.
And it eventually killed his brain.
Oh, how long of a decline was that? Like, was it?
Well, fortunately, it was in about 2012, late 2012, when we saw that something happening. Hmm. He decided he better quit being a surgeon. First month of 2013, soon as he quit work, he declined big time.
Hmm.
He was still at the place where I could leave him to go to the grocery store. He didn't wander off or anything. But by July of 2014, he fell, broke some vertebrae in his back, shattered it. He was dead in 2 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And I was really grateful because I'm thinking, I heard you could be 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
He had already been through the problems of not recognizing what feces are, is. So he came out to the kitchen one day with it all over his hands.
Mm.
So that was the first icky thing I had to deal with. And then he died. So,
yeah. I mean, that sounds awful, but I'm with you. I mean, I have a friend right now whose husband is kind of mid-stage Parkinson's, I think. And it's awful, and it's been 12 years or whatever. So yeah, I mean, it could, not like you want them to go and not like you want to lose them, but to not have to go through that horrible, decline probably was a blessing.
Yeah, for both people, because I think they are sort of aware. Yeah, right.
Wow. So you've been through it. Did you remarry?
Yes, I have this really nice husband named Michael.
Woohoo!
Yeah,
that's awesome. And you have two sons, or do you have one? One son.
Two sons. They're in their early 50s.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's
know what I look like.
Do you know? I don't know what you look like, but you don't seem like you'd have sons in their 50s.
Yeah, I do, but I take really good care of myself.
Clearly. There was a woman yesterday. My mom is so cute. She plays the ukulele and she sings. Like, she led the toddlers at church for all these years. And so she's been really missing it because she's very, COVID scared or whatever. But she got her shots and all that, whatever. I have to let go of that. But she said, hey, would you ever want to host a little mom's group in your neighborhood and invite your friends and their toddlers? So we've had it twice and they come in the backyard and we all sit, in the garden area, and she does these songs and stories and stuff. But it's super funny. One of the grandmas brought her granddaughter yesterday, and my mom the whole time thought that was the mom. She was in her 60s and she looked so good. My mom's like, oh, my mom was like, no, she kept calling her Ellie's mom. And I said, that's her grandma. And she just could not. The lady had not a wrinkle. She looked like she taught yoga. I mean, she looked incredible. And I'm like, what's your secret? And she goes, I've just always taken care of myself. Like, that's not rockets. I mean, she's eating well. She's taking care of her skin. I don't know exactly where she stands with organics and stuff. I didn't get that in depth with her, but we were super impressed. So I'm sure
it happens. It can happen. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you exercised your whole life and stuff, or?
Oh, well, it's an interesting story. I didn't exercise until I was 28.
Okay.
And it's because I fell asleep at the wheel and hit a tree in South Lake Tahoe on Pioneer Trail. And so I messed up my face, internal surgery, broken leg and all that. During my recovery, I tried to go back to work at 4 months and could hardly breathe after a few hours. I go back to my orthopedic doc. And fortunately, it turns out he was a smart doctor. He said, Joanne, there's nothing we can do for you surgically. You need to start exercising. I said, okay, reluctantly, but I did it and I never quit. Then I learned about eating too much fat, and then I started learning about eating organics. So it all snowballed into I became really fit. I'm still fit. I work out 6 days a week.
Dang.
I'm super strong and full of energy. And some of my clients, I'm a hairstylist and a skincare expert, and they haven't seen me for years, and they started doing their hair again because my girlfriend had retired about 5 years ago. I said, sure, I'll come back and do some of them. So every 5 weeks, I do people in Tahoe.
No way.
At a salon up there. And one of the clients, she is such a doll, but she saw me for the first time in many years, and she goes, oh, my God. You took care of yourself, didn't you?
You took care of yourself.
I didn't. But I had a great time partying. Well, it killed her a couple years later. Oh. But I went, oh, wow. The difference between her and I was shocking.
Were you the same age?
By a year or two.
Yeah, so you guys just went.
Totally different.
Wow.
Yeah, you can see it all the time. Just walking around on the street. You go,
oh, yeah.
That person's only 40 and they look like that.
Oh, I know. We always drive, you know, when we're driving around, we think, oh my gosh, the state of people like in crosswalks or wherever you see them walking there, it hurts me. I'm like, oh my gosh, people are limping. People are obviously overweight, but people are like, they look like they need chiropractic so bad. And I'm sure they can't afford it, you know, and people are just living with these chronic, I don't know how some people are even walking, you know? It looks so painful. It just breaks my heart.
I'm like you. It just hurts me to see what they've done to themselves, and they don't realize that they could undo it. They're not ready to hear that or really believe in it.
Right. We were all on our own journey, but ugh.
And I was married to a plastic surgeon. That's who the doctor was. Oh my God. I know what they're doing to their bodies, the way they look. I mean, they can get all that weight off, and then they've got pounds of redundant skin. It just hangs down to their knees.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's disgusting what they're doing to themselves, but they don't have any idea.
Right. Yeah. I can't even imagine what the stories you heard and things you saw.
Oh. Of course, we didn't have very many people that were real poor, but I did see what happened to some people. Mm. So I know when we see these people, what's happening.
Mm. So, you know, it's funny. Justin's mom, I think it ended up saving her life in a weird way, but she was going to go in for a facelift of some sort. And they did all the blood work and stuff. And they're like, something's up. And it turned out she had stage, I don't know if you want to call it a stage of what kind of cancer? She had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And she never would have even known. And then, you know, she got treatment that we wouldn't do these days, but it probably did help save her, but she says vanity saved her life. And I'm like, wow, she's like one of those tiny percentages that actually, and she never got her face done. And then she just went into full, you know, mode of getting healthy and getting cancer free. And she's still here, but she's 80 and she's a trooper, but you know, the radiation and chemo and things she did all those years ago in the 90s have definitely affected her.
Yeah, I used to work alongside a nutritionist, what she called herself, functional medicine. Mm-hmm. She had an acupuncturist working for her, and he was also a Chinese medical doctor.
Mm.
He said, chemo is poison.
Oh.
Don't do it.
No.
It keeps people alive for a few more years. But what it does to you, and it's so amazing how many people don't realize it.
I know.
But you know, well, that's another whole subject. It's so much more expensive to do it the right way.
Well, of course it is. And unfortunately, yeah, people are living paycheck to paycheck, don't have it in their budget to, you know, look at other options. I mean, we were talking about, were you here at the beginning when we were talking about how expensive it is to get an IV of vitamin C? I mean, it's expensive.
You know, I missed that part, but I am aware of that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Jessica and I were talking about, she's a nurse, and she said it was $200 to get a bag. And she goes, I want to learn how to give one to myself. You know, I'm like, I don't blame you.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And insurance won't cover it, of course.
No. You know, that's where I'm grateful though, for those GoFundMes and things, like when people can use them to go to Mexico and go to these clinics and treat themselves in ways that they wouldn't have the money to do, you know, cause half the GoFundMe stuff, I'm like, where is this money going? But when it's going to a person that really wants to do something that they might not have the money for, I love seeing people come together and donate and get people to those clinics and stuff, because it can save them, you know?
Absolutely. That's great.
Hi, Bridget. Can Bridget hear us? We have Bridget here. Oh, everybody's connection.
She looks like she's really fit. She's got
I know. Like, I want to talk to Bridget. What does she do? Bridget looks like she's in a yoga studio or something cool. Oh, I can't hear. Do you do a lot of stretching, Joanne? Like,
I know.
No.
Okay. I do.
What do you do to work out?
Oh, well, I had this trainer that taught me to, he says you're working out too hard.
Mm.
At 68 years old or something like that, he told me that. So he put me through this training where I do cardio every other day and okay. weights every other day.
Okay.
But they're always slightly different.
Hmm.
And this is really important because you want to surprise the body. It'll react better. So on one day when I do cardio, every 5 minutes, I run as fast as I can for a
mm-hmm.
minute.
Mm-hmm.
I do that 5 times.
Yeah.
40 minutes on the treadmill. Today is my walk day. I walk fast, 4.0 for 40 minutes.
Good for you.
On weight days, I have the day where I do 4 sets of the same weight, but at the end of that, you can barely do the last set.
Yeah. You're really pushing.
And, yep. And then I have the other day will be what I call heavy day, and that's when I go from lighter to heavier until I fail at about 3 or 4 reps.
Wow. Like what kind of weight are you talking?
Well, for instance, with lower body, let's just say you're doing a leg curl, like for the back of the hamstrings and the butt.
Right.
I'll start out with 55 pounds for 20 reps.
Okay.
Then I go to 75 pounds, and then I go to 85, and then 100. And at 100, I can only do 3 or 4.
Holy mackerel.
So that's how it works.
Well, right. That makes sense. Right.
Yeah. So you're always surprising the muscle. I've forgotten what it's called all of a sudden.
Yeah, I know. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know what you said. Yeah. I know what
works. I started it 9 years ago and it reshaped my whole body. My arms have shape and I'm 74 now.
And you only started it 9 years ago?
But I was exercising prior to that. It's just I went to him and I said, Dave, I think you're the kind of person that I'd like to have you assess what I'm doing and see if you would change anything. Mm-hmm. And he said, at your age, I would not be working out as hard as you are. I would spend an hour and a half doing all the weights. Then I'd do cardio for almost an hour.
Wow. Well,
apparently I was wearing myself out and I was getting sick of it.
Right.
So he tries to get me in and out of the gym in 40 minutes.
Oh my gosh. So you do go to the gym?
Oh yeah, I do because I don't have the right equipment at home.
Right.
Especially for legs.
Yeah.
Well, actually for the whole thing, I'd have to have, because I have to go heavy.
You know, I've heard that too. I forget who it was that we were talking about, talking to one of the guys we had on our podcast years ago. And he was talking about those short bursts of cardio and how that is the way that we're meant to be, not these long drawn out like marathons.
Yeah, we're meant to do that flight or fight.
For sure.
Here to there.
For sure.
You train your body to do that. And it can do it.
You know, that's amazing. I needed to hear that today because sometimes, like, after having these kids, oh, my gosh, I'm just really struggling. I never thought I would because I've always been fit. I've always been in shape. I'm a hairstylist as well. I always had tone in my arms from doing all the, blow dries. And I just got rocked. And sometimes I'm like, gosh, I just think this is my body now. And I can't think that way. I get in this cycle of just kind of feeling frustrated. But I also haven't given it the time that I need to put into it. It's just super hard right now when they're so little. But
It's very hard.
I need to remember.
I didn't get real, real fit until the boys were out of the house.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, yeah, that gives me hope, though.
Yeah. Well, look, I just watched Dr. Bergman on something he was talking about. I think I was looking up Lyme disease because I have a friend that's got a problem with that.
Mm.
And he had that picture up there, the men that are 75 years old and they're bodybuilders.
Yeah.
In other words, it's never too late.
No, I know. Thank you for that. And I know that. I know it up here. It's just like the day to day. I'm like, this is so frustrating.
I know. Well, just do what you can around the house. Push-ups, wall sits.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then once you get a little more freedom.
Yeah.
How old are the kids?
They're 2.
Oh, well, no wonder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give yourself a little space here.
They'll be 3, but yeah, I think the problem, it is a problem, but I'm trying to work a lot on this giant fibroid tumor I have. So it really pushes out my abdomen. I had it before I got pregnant with the kids, but during that, it really pushed it out. And ever since I had them, it's basically looks like I'm 5 months pregnant in my stomach, and it's so uncomfortable and so hard. So I'm considering surgery. I've fought it for over a decade, but now I'm so tired of it because I can't do the things with my core, that I want to do. It's been an interesting journey, but,
is it uncomfortable?
Oh, it's awful. It's so uncomfortable. And I had that abdominal separation with the muscles.
Mm-hmm.
So with all that going on, it's just like, I have this super weak core that hurts it really hurts. Like it's not a good thing. So I don't know. I'm kind of like, do I give it a year of trying the natural stuff again, which I was just getting super serious about before I got pregnant with them. And then obviously you don't want to work on that when you're building babies.
Right.
So I don't know. I'd seen a surgeon a month before I got pregnant, and he was like, yeah, we can get this thing out. You know, it's probably needs, it's the size.
You went away.
Bridget?
Oh, you went away. Did you get Bridget yet?
I don't know. It says we're unstable, our internet. Can you hear me, Joanne?
Yes, but you did stop for a few seconds. And when you were talking about the surgeon said you could get that out of there, but then you got pregnant.
Yeah. And it was funny. I was just considering, like, am I going to do that? Or am I going to throw the kitchen sink at this naturally, which there was no guarantee it was going to shrink 100%. But now I'm just going to have to make some choices because I got to get my life back. It's a little bit.
A dream surgery would be if you could have a tummy tuck because that tightens. Did you know that tightens the muscles?
I'm assuming.
Rectus abdominis, and they truss you like a turkey.
I
can pull it back together so it's nice and strong again.
I know. You know what? It sounds like a dream. It makes me nervous. Like, I'm not a fan of surgery, and I'm not a fan of going under, but I also can't live like this. Like, I can't fit into my clothes. It's pretty awful.
Well, you know, if you can get through life without having any surgery, that would be great.
Right. But you know, I had a C-section, which I wasn't planning on because there was a real emergency with one of them. And I didn't want to do that either, but here I am.
Oh, well, maybe you could have that scar cleaned up, get the fibroid out of there.
I know.
But unfortunately, plastic surgeons they can't. I mean, my husband was both. He was a surgeon and a plastic surgeon.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So I don't know if he could have done that in a hospital. We had a private surgery center.
Mm.
So that'd be kind of cool if you could do it at the same time and it could be the same doctor.
I know. I think we're going to have to get really creative. It was a bummer when I had the C-section with the kids because I was like, can you just take that fibroid out, at the same time?
Maybe you're
well, covered. It was a bummer because he goes, if it was the kind that was like hanging off of the wall, he could cauterize it or take it out. But it's in the muscle, so it was like a whole different area, you know?
Oh, so it's stuck underneath the...
It's in the uterus, but it's like in the lining. So he goes, that's a whole other thing. He was so cool. He was like, I hope and pray. I said, no, I know it's not what you're thinking and we're hoping. I already knew because I had been on top of it, but I said, wouldn't that be cool if he could have done it? But yeah, I'm with you. I mean, if I can knock out just getting myself back together in one big surgery, that would be really cool. But and then treating the scars, like you said, like, man, we've talked to a lot of different people that are in this natural field just about how important it is to treat the scars, even with like clay packs and things to kind of get your meridians flowing again. And because that disrupts everything, you know, kind of like cuts you off from how you were before. So I have some work to do. And that's why we're all in it together. We're always working on something, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, so I have days where I'm more positive and other times where I'm like, this just sucks. Like, it's hard. That's why we're all here talking and being honest. It's nice to share.
Yeah, it truly is. This is fun. I had no idea I was going to be talking to you. I thought
Oh, shoot. You there?
You just went away again. I wonder why you can't see me.
No, it's okay. This is really cool because a lot of the times we've had like 10 or 15 people and it's really cool, but you're kind of sporadic talking to everybody and you don't get the real, like, this is a nice conversation to talk with you.
Well, I hope I have some interesting insights.
Oh, you've encouraged me and I think you're going to offer a bunch of people insight if they listen to a replay. It's just nice to, And it's great that you mentioned those books for people to read too, from Dennis Prager. And I just think, I think we're not on the cusp. We're there. People are waking up in droves, and it's super encouraging to me.
I think they are too. And I just think you have to dig to hear about it.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because it's out there, but the digging is getting harder. I mean, with social media and stuff, I mean, we've had stuff with our podcast, our show, we're just getting taken off platforms, and they completely wiped out one of our accounts or taken off videos of YouTube. I mean, it's real.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Censorship is real, but you know, we keep coming back. I was on a walk yesterday, which I've been good at doing for myself. And, I was walking up in the hills and I met these two women. They were so cute. The mom was 80 and the daughter was in her 50s. And we were talking about, it was so weird. We'd start talking about the shot, and we were talking about homeschooling and kids and just this world. And the 50-year-old mom had 3 grown children and who are all in their late 20s. And she was just like, man, like, how hard would it be to have little kids? And I mean, she goes, it's hard enough having 20-year-olds still navigating this oddly, fastly changing world with all this stuff. And I don't know. We were just sharing life about moms of kids of any ages. It's just, you always want a better world for your kids. And I feel like if we're not careful, it can really send you into a downward spiral if you don't really understand what's happening and you give into the fear and you give into the, so we were just like encouraging each other. I probably talked to them for 45 minutes and we were all just supposed to be walking, and it ended up being what I needed more than the walk that day, you know, but.
Oh, great. That's really great.
It was neat to make that time and just slow down. And I don't know. It's funny how I had a plan. I was going to go on a walk and God was like, no, your plan is to meet these people.
You're going to meet somebody great. Yeah. Cool. Gives you a message from me.
Really, always daily. My plans go out the window if I'm just slow enough to realize what he's trying to do in my life.
Absolutely. Well, I guess you want to consider homeschooling or private school, definitely, right?
Well, here in California, I mean, the private schools and the charter schools and those things are, you could kind of squeak by with the vaccine laws, but you know, it's getting so intense. So we're planning on definitely homeschooling, or, you know, if California keeps getting weirder, we have such a love-hate relationship with it, but we'll leave over it for sure, you know?
You may have to. You know how many people have left? Even the Daily Wire, those guys.
Oh, yeah. I don't blame them.
I know. Yeah,
it's hard. We have so many friends. I mean, we have friends leaving in droves. Everyone's going to, you know, Idaho, Colorado, Texas, Nevada, Arizona.
Yeah, and Florida.
Florida's, well, yeah. I couldn't do Florida. I would if it was a last resort. That's just too stinking hot and muggy. I don't know.
Well, it would be really hard to get used to. Be good for your skin. Be good for your skin.
You're right. It would be great for your skin. And I mean, and great for your, great to have a, I'm just wondering what happens when DeSantis gets out. I mean, is it all going to catch up with California, or is it going to, somebody else great going to take over?
Well, that's for sure. DeSantis has done such a good job.
I know
Christy Noem.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And I guess Texas, but, wow.
Yeah, I know.
Can you imagine? We never used to worry about any of this stuff.
Well, 2 years ago, I mean, you know what it's taught us though? I feel, and you're probably the same. I didn't really care much about like my local government. I mean, I didn't know who my people were. I didn't really know who was in charge. I just didn't care as much, you know?
Me, I'm the same way.
Yeah. Now I'm like, dude, I can tell you who our mayor is. I can tell you who's on the Senate. I can tell, I'm aware of the names. I know now whether voting is fraudulent or voting works. I don't know. I'm sure it's been messed with in a lot of elections and stuff, but, it's, you know, it's still good to know what people are about and what they stand for and read up on people. It's just, it's the time. It takes a lot of time. And that's like becoming sovereign. Like we were talking about, like, if you value these things, things are going to have to change in your life. It's hard.
Yeah, this is very interesting. I think there's more people like us than we realize. More people that have been diehard Democrats are looking at what's going on and saying, what? These people they're going way overboard on everything that's not good for the United States and the people that live in it.
Yeah. Do you think it's because they know their window is so small? You know, like the Bible says, it's like, evil is going to run rampant because they know their window is small. They know their time is short. It just seems like things are blowing up so fast and they're trying to get so much in such a quick time.
Well, I do believe it's something like that, but I think it's because they aren't smart enough to realize they're blowing their own selves up. Don't you think they're blowing their own selves up? They think they're so smart. And unfortunately, the elites, the really well-educated, according to Dennis Prager, and I believe this is true because I've seen it happen in my life, they think they have a better idea. And what they do is repeat old history that never worked.
Yep.
It's amazing. But no. They're so arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
They just keep doing the same wrong things.
Yeah.
And totally believing in it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. And that's funny. I was telling my friend yesterday, I said, wow, because she felt like she just had a breakthrough in her life with this issue she'd been having. And then something, of course, right when she feels like it's 6 months of feeling good about something, something slams into her and she's challenged and she goes, isn't that just like, you know, the devil? And I said, well, yeah, it's like he's not creative. He's never creative. It's the same old thing, you know, the same old thing that bothers you, the same. But I go, man, when you can get to a level deeper in that, it's so freeing. Like, it's actually the biggest win. But these people, it's like the evil is the same it's always been. It's just we can see it now more.
Oh, absolutely. They're exposing themselves and they don't even realize it.
I know. It's going to shoot them in the it'll boomerang back on them.
I really do think the truth kind of it sets you free, but it also really wins overall eventually.
I really
keep hoping that's got to be the case.
It has to. Yeah.
Have you heard of this website, Truth Comes to Light?
No. I'm writing it down.
Check it out. It's a lot of people that can't be on mainstream media.
Oh, funny. This is great. How did you find that one?
I don't know.
You went down the rabbit hole.
Went down the rabbit hole.
There's no going back. And all of a sudden, we laugh. Our conversations at night are so funny. It's like, did you hear this? We're like, there's just too much. It's so fun to talk about. But it's a lot.
Well, like, for instance, there's a doctor on there. He's about 80 years old at this point. He's from the UK. His name is Vernon Coleman.
Okay.
And he's written many books over the years.
Okay.
And one of them is called How Not to Let Your Doctor Kill You. He gives you, you know, how to not be labeled by your doctor. How to not be bullied by your doctor.
How not to let your doctor kill you.
What to do if you land in the hospital.
Oh, that is that a new one or are they older books?
No, these are older. So he's known this stuff for years.
Yeah.
So he gives some reports on this COVID. He calls it the COVID jab.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get the jab. Mm-hmm. And this is why.
Mm-hmm.
But there's that attorney from Germany. He's a German and American citizen. He's fighting for getting corporations to stop lying to people. So there's a lot of people on there that you'll find fascinating. Judy Mikovits, she's the one that's discovered. I mean, she knows all the fraudulent stuff that's going on here.
Oh, yeah.
How fraudulent Fauci is.
Right. Oh, no, she's the real deal.
Yeah, she is.
Well, she's insanely under fire. Yeah.
Well, is she ever? But yeah. I think she's gotten her courage and she's fighting. So these are the kinds of people that are on this website.
Okay. No, this is great. I love sites where you can find a bunch of people. Like, I've never heard of that before, and I've heard of a lot, but truth comes to mind.
I know, there's so many. It's like, well, who do you listen to?
I know. Did you see what happened with Dr. Mercola this week?
Yes. He's being threatened personally.
Oh, yeah. And his statement, I don't know if you read that, but it was like very much like, he basically said, you know, you probably read it, like, this is a whole new level. Like, they're coming after, it sounds like, I mean, it must be his whole family because it sounds awful.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I read the piece.
Yeah, me too. Because he's never backed down. And now for him to be like, you know, they're these billionaire thugs, just, you know, they must be doing something so scary that he can't chance it. Ugh, that'd be awful.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Who else are going to go after?
I'm a little nervous.
Well, you guys.
Well, everybody. Yeah. Anyone who's in this field, at some point, we're going to either get shut down or threatened or Yeah, Dr. Bergman. I mean, anybody who puts themselves out there, you know.
Well, absolutely. I think it's funny Dr. Bergman has to put titles on his pieces now, on his videos that don't really call out COVID, but you know that's what he's talking about.
Oh, totally. I listened to this pastor in Honolulu. He's a Calvary Chapel guy, J.D. Farag. Have you heard of him?
No, J.D. Farag?
F-A-R-A-G, Farag. Okay. Yeah, he's Calvary Chapel, Honolulu. And oh my gosh, the guy knows what's up. He's one of the only pastors that actually knows all this stuff and he talks about it. Well, he was so heavily censored on YouTube that he does like a YouTube live stream of his sermons on Sunday. And then like at the halfway point, when he really wants to talk about stuff, he switches over to his own website, which is jdfarag.org. And you can listen to it live because he can't chance being losing. He wants people to know. So he's trying to connect with people at a greater level that don't know about all this on YouTube. But then he has to really be careful how he labels things and what he talks about. And I mean, everyone's being censored, from the pastors to the doctors to the, it's just insane, to the moms, to the homeschool moms. I mean, I can't believe how much is happening in that world.
Yeah, it's craziness.
It's craziness.
Which makes you think God is in charge and God mm-hmm. is exposing all of this.
I know.
It's just too nuts. It's just way too.
I know.
Yeah, very, very hard to believe that all these things that are happening aren't being orchestrated somehow.
Yeah, I know. This pastor I was telling you about, he was so cool. He was talking about, you know, the story in the Bible of Joseph and then when his brothers did all that awful stuff to him. And he basically, they end up, you know, coming to him thinking he's long dead. And he's like, oh, you know, you're the brothers that put me in the hole and almost killed me. And he goes, what you meant for evil against me, God meant for good. And it's like, that was the whole moral of the story. It's like, yeah, all these people with their evil plans, they're trying to harm us. But, you know, God turns it around and somehow he makes it into, he knows. It's not like he's not aware of these plans and what they're trying to carry out. And we will win. We will.
I looked JD up on YouTube. I'm going to start listening to him.
You'll really like him. He's one of the only ones that Justin and I are like, yeah, this is worth, I mean, not like other people aren't worth your time, but you feel like you're like, yep, he gets it all. And he's connecting the dots in the
and
Christian.
He's not going woke.
No.
Which right. A lot of pastors are doing.
Exactly.
Pablum instead of a real sermon.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
That's why it's really hard for us. I mean, cause we're believers, but it's like, man, it's really hard to find a place where you feel like they're not, it's hard to find real, you know?
Exactly.
Where they're not bending this way and bending that way and trying to make there's not a lot of people taking a real stand, and it takes guts and it takes people thinking you're insane, but I value that more than anything. It's truth.
Yes. Maybe I'll jog your memory. Last year, around January, February, a pastor here in Dayton, Nevada, mm-hmm. which is a little, you know, basically mining town.
Okay.
He went to the Supreme Court on shutting down the churches. He made it that far. They no still way. Didn't change the rulings, though.
No, I did not. I don't remember.
He was one of the. I know. I go, well, maybe I am moving to an okay place. We got a real brave pastor over here.
Who was he?
Calvary Chapel, too.
Do you remember his name?
No. It slipped my mind. But Calvary Chapel in Dayton. There's a Calvary Chapel Baptist, but then there's a Calvary Chapel Dayton.
Okay.
Nevada.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm thinking about going there. I've just been waiting until the, I won't wear a mask.
No, I know. Same here. That's why we've loved the online thing, even though I miss parts of being, you know, at an actual place with people, but I'm like, man, it's so good to have your soul fed in that way. I miss it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's hard to find a place, right? I mean, that's what, like, we'd probably have to drive an hour to find someone we actually agree, like that Jack Hibbs guy. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Oh, Jack's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's not far from us, but he'd take a 45 minute drive, and we're willing to do it, but it's just kind of hard with the little people. But
yeah, your little people, that would be hard.
We're in a season. It'll
change so fast. It'll make your head swim, as they say.
Amen.
With my mom used to say, I guess.
Wow, Joanne. Wow, it's so cool to talk to people who get all this. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
What it's a neat thing. Fun. How long have you been a member?
Oh, gosh. I think about 6 months.
Okay. And you found Dr. Bergman just online?
I did, and I've been listening to him for over a year. Now, what I really don't still understand is what you, is it Jesse?
Justin.
Justin?
Mm-hmm. What we do?
Yeah, exactly. What do you do?
So I think in 2012, Justin started a podcast interviewing doctors like Dr. Bergman. So we do that. We have a show, and I used to co-host it with him more before the kids came along. But yeah, our work is just interviewing the top people in this natural world and putting it out there so people can hear different interviews. So it's Extreme Health Radio is our, it's .com is our site.
So I did sign up for your Extreme Health on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
To the account. So tell me, when should I check in with you guys?
Yeah, so we put out a show, mostly Justin these days until I can, I'm occasionally on them still, but he records them on Fridays and they're released the following day. So they're available Saturday on our website, extremehealthradio.com. And there'll be like a new show banner and you can just listen that way. There's archives. Yeah, our email, if you sign up to that, it'll kind of send emails with cycling old shows, which are just as great. They're just older, you know? But we have
this is how I found you today is my email.
Oh, yeah. Cool. I'm so happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I signed up for Dr. B.
Oh, I love Dr. B.
VP, VIP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good man. He is really... I was telling a bunch of people here a couple weeks ago that it's hard to make it 45 minutes up to him right now. We miss him, but we found a local guy who I can go 5 minutes down the road who's very in tune with Dr. B's work. But he said, man, that guy's just a revolutionary. He's just, you know, our chiropractor we're going to now, just because of convenience, he says everything. He goes, I've gone up to his clinic. I watch him. I go to his talk. Like people are, it's amazing that these really great chiropractors are looking to him as the pioneer. It's really cool. There's some good chiropractors out there.
Original thinker.
Yep. And the guy that we've been seeing too, it's pretty funny. He's, you know, the whole mask thing, half the people in there are wearing them, half aren't. He doesn't care. During this whole thing, it's been pretty refreshing, but.
Oh, good.
He puts himself out there. I mean, you know, you could have a secret shopper or a patient come in and I'm sure kind of bust you, but I don't know. Things are kind of changing again, which is a good thing.
So tell me, how did you find him? I've been thinking about trying to find someone here. Did you try to look up corrective chiropractic or what?
Yeah, I did. I looked like just by our zip code and just did some research. And then I had a couple friends who had mentioned this guy and I looked him up and found that he was all these things. And it one thing led to another. He was actually really easy to find because I know people have a heck of a time trying to find, you know, Dr. B gives those seven. Have you heard him talk about those seven things to ask when you're looking for a chiropractor?
Yeah, I'd have to go back and review it.
I know. And I don't remember them all either, but I know it's very important to do are you seeing anybody right now or?
No, we had a little fender bender where somebody rear-ended us. My husband wanted to go through insurance and get checked out.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through with the chiropractor that was recommended by the attorney, young guy, kind of, you know, 40-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a total waste. I've been to good chiropractors. And by listening to Bergman, I even know what a better chiropractor is. And this man was the typical, you know, I'm going to make money off the car wrecks. And... I just felt like he wasn't doing anything for me. So as soon as I could, I said, yeah, I think I've graduated. I don't need to come in anymore. So he does this stupid little assessment. Bend your neck this way. Bend your neck that way. Turn your body this way. Turn your body that way. Okay, you're fine. Okay, thanks.
You're like, I could have told myself that.
Oh, brother.
What a waste. It is a waste.
It is. It
I
is.
Know. I know.
So yeah. I don't really have any money. I know I was married to a surgeon. I don't have any money. So I haven't been going to a chiropractor at all.
Oh, I know. It's so expensive. We pay out of pocket too. It's just, I got to a breaking point where I'm like, I can't make it up to Dr. B and I have to do something. But I mean, my gosh, it is an investment.
It is. My little sister's going to go to him because she has such severe scoliosis.
Mm.
She's 69 now. I mean, it's horrible.
She look like a question mark?
Yes, she does. Mm. And her back is practically, it's like a big Z.
Mm.
Here's Bridget again.
Oh, yeah, there's Bridget. Oh, we found her.
Yeah, I got kicked off for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh my gosh, we are having technical like hell over here today. Sorry.
Yeah, you guys kept disappearing and then coming back, so I think we're good now.
Oh my gosh, we were so interested in your cute office. What do you do? Who are you?
Oh, so I have I'm here in South Tampa. I have a holistic practice that does. I specialize in IV nutritional therapy. So I do a ton of like cancer, autism, Lyme disease, just preventative. And again, you know, going back to that whole root, like source of finding what's truly wrong with somebody,
yeah,
finding what's depleted and replenishing and finding what's there that shouldn't be there and removing it. So, yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. How long have you had the clinic?
So I've been in this area for 15 years. I was with another physician. I've been on my own for 6.
Oh my gosh. Good yeah. for you. I just, the whole space, when you first showed up, I'm like, that is beautiful. Like whatever that
oh,
is.
Thank you.
So peaceful. And
it's
so-
set up like a home because people come here and, you know, most people who find me, they've been victimized through healthcare. Mm-hmm. And by the time they find me, the last thing I want them to do is to feel like they're coming into the same type setting. So it's wow. more set up like a home. People come here and just literally will hang out just to hang out. So.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's amazing, Bridget.
Thank you.
Like a big hug.
Exactly.
I feel that through just seeing that. I can't imagine what it's like being there. That's amazing. Wow. Well, that's really world changing to people. Do you see a lot of people come in through every day?
I do. I'm very busy. I have patients all over the country. I go to Atlanta, New York. I'll be in California. I go out to Colorado. I try to minimize that, but people do fly in from all over as well.
Wow. So when you travel, what is that like? What do you do? Like if you come out to California?
Typically when I go there, a lot of times, usually it's for a cancer patient, that's already been through traditional healthcare with chemo radiation that causes more cancer. And now they're looking and seeking alternative treatments themselves. And I'll go there and I'll implement the protocols. And usually I'll interview like a PA or an NP or somebody of the sort that can continue the protocol. And if they're not set up to get the supplies that we need, then I ship overnight and make sure I feel comfortable with them continuing the treatments that way, because I can't obviously be there all the time.
Right.
That's usually it's just to initiate and do those things.
Oh my gosh. What is the name? What is your website?
It's thrivemedcenter.com. I can put it on the chat too.
Yeah. Can you please?
Sure. Yeah. I'll put it on there.
Oh my gosh.
And I will tell you this. It's very basic as you can probably imagine, but it talks about that because I don't really advertise. I'm very busy with just word of mouth because, you know, they don't like anything alternative or holistic. So I follow primarily protocols out of Germany. I do have a lot of patients that I've even sent to Mexico for the treatments because we can't do certain things here, like the B17 and different things.
Sure.
So I don't try to get on the radar, and I don't. But even if I was, I'm not really worried about that. But you know the whole concept behind that. They don't like any of this.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll put it in the chat.
Thank you.
I'll attach it and then you guys have it.
Well, it's cool because it's nice to have this private community where it's a little bit more,
You have to have it because if you don't, the thing is like it's sad because people don't know that there's another option, right? I know,
right. And that's why we're all doing this, right?
Right.
Wow. How did you get into this? Are you a cancer survivor?
Nope, not at all. So I got really lucky right out of school. I started working at an urgent care. And in that time, within the first 30 days of working there, I met a physician by the name of Dr. Radley Griffin and a bunch of other young upcoming physicians. And Radley came to me after about a month and said, I'd like to start a concierge practice and I'd like you to start it with me. And that same day, another doctor who was a DO, Dr. Michael Heim, he said, hey, I'd like to start a practice and I'd like you to start it with me. And I solely went with Dr. Griffin because he came to me first. I had no idea what that meant, but he was capable of teaching me about healthcare not being based off of a quantity number and insurance driven. It was based off people, individuals, and the higher the number, not the better. You give the quality of time to people and you really get to know them and try to help their situation. So I did concierge medicine with him for 6 years. And then when I met maximum capacity of my growth there, Dr. Heim, I gave him like 30 days and then went with Dr. Heim and worked part-time doing the holistic approach and learning. So I got the best of both worlds, like traditional, phenomenal, true caring medical doctor, MD. And then on the other spectrum, somebody that really focused on the root cause of healing and helping. Right. Like you're not diabetic because you're just born diabetic. Maybe being 300 pounds might be a, you know, cause. So it was really good. And then realized after being there for about 5 years, my growth and things just had, again, hit a wall. And so I decided to venture off on my own. And also what I was able to do with continuing education was determine on what they wanted me to do. And I didn't like that. So I wanted to expand what I was capable of doing and learning. Wow. Not based off of, and I can tell you both of those practices I built up from the ground, very beginning, became multi-million dollar practices, and both of them ended up, it started becoming money driven. They went into it for the right reasons and then money took over. So I will never allow that to happen here. Mm-hmm. I do pro bono work. I don't turn a patient away and I'm all cash based. I don't know how to do that. Mm-hmm. So I don't let money or government or ridiculous rules control how I would treat somebody, because that doesn't work. Yeah. It'll never work.
No,
but that's so rare. That's so good to hear.
But the thing is when you do, what goes around comes back around always.
Yeah.
And I'm very busy.
Yeah.
I'm busy enough to where, I mean, I don't need more people. I mean, I don't even care sharing with other providers what I know. I'll teach them all day long. I can't be everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's not like I'm competing. There is not a competition. There's more than enough people that need help. So
That is such a, I love that. Thank you for putting that link too.
Yeah.
It's funny. Most people, in our world, there are people like you that believe and think like that, but my gosh, the majority, isn't it just all about, they don't want to share. They want to be the one, they want to be the God that people go to. And such a
ego. I can't tell you how many people come here and they're like, do you mind talking to my oncologist or this and that? And again, I would never degrade or put down their approach to healthcare if I didn't know anything about it. And I still don't even go that way, but they're the first ones to shoot down anything that I say and they know nothing about it.
No,
they're very arrogant.
They have like 8 hours of a nutritional.
Maybe if they're lucky. But I'm right. Like, well, so I used to tell people all the time, okay, I don't blame the doctors, what they're taught. It's funded by pharmaceutical companies, but I've retracted that to an extent because I'm like, if you've been in practice for 30 years and your success rate's 1%, it's your responsibility to realize where you're failing. If you have a 1% success rate, then you're not doing any good for anybody. I'd close my door if 99 out of 100 people died. That's a fact.
Wow.
How do you continue to do that?
What is the response, people? Like, are they, I mean, have you ever said that to them?
I have.
Wow.
And I say, I don't come across combative or anything like that, because they're going to be the first ones to attack me. I'm always open. And the best thing is I always have the patient with me on speaker. And I'm like, I'm returning a call, or I'm calling you to reach out. We share a mutual patient. And they will start just running off at me and tell me, who do I think I am? Why would you be saying this? I'm like, well, with all due respect, if I tell you my success rate versus yours, we can go off of that.
Totally. Who's going to argue? Yeah,
totally. I mean, how many success stories? And when I tell them this, I said, and I'm talking about, I'm not regarding if somebody comes in for prostate cancer and then you treat them for prostate cancer, but they die of lung cancer, because that's how they manipulate the numbers. Well, it was a success. We got rid of prostate cancer, but we gave you lung cancer.
Totally.
I said, those numbers don't count to me. I said, you causing other cancer somewhere else, and that was the cause of their death, does not count as a success story.
Right.
So, and they don't want to hear what I want to have, because it's more of an arrogance. They feel entitled. Like, even when a patient asks them a question, or if the patient has things they want answered, they get offended, which is crazy to me. Why would you be offended? You should be excited that they want to be compliant. Why would you be upset about that? You should actually encourage them to ask more questions, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Amen. And they should never be too proud to say they don't know, because I'm not. If I don't know, I'm like, you know what? I don't know. Let me reach out to people that I've trained under and done this, because if I lie to them, I'm not helping. What's that going to accomplish?
Right. Exactly.
They're never going to come back.
Yeah. But you've done work on yourself, clearly. Most people are just so ego-driven, they don't even understand what they're doing.
Oh, my gosh, no. I do what I do because I truly care about people.
I know. And you
there's no other basis of why I do what I do. Hmm. And a lot of that would have to do with things I've experienced in my own life, right? I've never put anybody through what I've gone through. And I actually wouldn't change my upbringing and things like that, because it's why I'm who I am and where I'm at. But people embrace and want to use that as a pity story or whatever it may be, and that's you should do the opposite.
Right.
So helping people, I don't know how to not give to people. People tell me sometimes I'm a dumb businesswoman, but I'm like, no, I can't help it. I don't know what else to do. No, people come in, and if I'll learn from it, from my mistakes, but I'm never going to close my door for on anybody, unless it's going to be detrimental to me, obviously. But yeah, so that's what we do.
Wow. I am so happy to connect with you. That's so cool.
Yeah. So I didn't get the first part of this. Like, so what was the topic of discussion today? We weren't even here.
Yeah, no, it's really small today. It was cool because sometimes there's like 10 or 15 of us and it's kind of all over talking about stuff. But we were just talking a lot about, at the beginning, we were talking about, we had Jessica Davis, our friend who is a nurse, and she was talking about how she treats her cold naturally. Because she basically got a cold and she was like, I feel like an idiot because I'm a health coach and like here I am failing. And, you know, we talked about what that feels like sometimes. Yeah. But we address that. We're like, it's not what it is at all. But we all kind of feel stupid sometimes when you have to admit things. And it's, again, ego, right? So we talked a lot about that. And then we just, we've been talking a lot.
So what's her approach to help her cold?
Yeah. She was throwing all kind of well, she said she didn't used to do good with adaptogens and she's been doing that, but she's been throwing every herbal thing. She got the vitamin, IV. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting because we were talking about how expensive they are. She spent $200 on a bag, you know, and she's a nurse. Yeah. And she goes, I want to learn how to do my own IV because it's like, I can't afford this.
Yeah, and, you know, I'd be excited to actually have her tell me what was in that bag because here's another problem that I have. So when I've recently just had a patient, Carl, who Moffitt, he had prostate cancer. Well, it's gone now through me, but prostate cancer, they removed his prostate because it came back with a vengeance under Moffitt. Then after they started more chemo radiation, it spread everywhere. So he was on his last option and found me through somebody. They told him he had like 2 months to live if he was lucky. But again, they have no science or basis behind that, right?
Right.
Anyway, so he did his research, came to me, he's following my protocols. He's doing amazing. Moffitt at this time still had no idea that he stopped every blood pressure medication, all his oral chemo, all this stuff. And he goes begging for his numbers and they can't find the cancer. They can't find anything. His blood pressure is completely normal and they're in such disbelief. But anyway, in the midst of this, him and his wife decided to buy a motorhome because like if he's going to die, they just want to live as they want to go and do whatever, but he's still one of the IVs. So my assistant, Laura, and I did our due diligence to find somebody in these different states where he'd be traveling. I could ship the stuff overnight. And they, if they're licensed or whatever, I make it pretty much dummy proof to administer it. I'll tell you, we were capable of finding people, but the cost of just the administration was three times what I charged to administer it here in my office. And they don't even have to bring a single glove or supply just for them to go and stick him with my own supplies. They had no overhead except their gas and their time, like literally thousands of dollars.
No way.
So what they put in that $200 bag, I'd be interested to find out because I guarantee it's probably 1/10, if I'm lucky, of what I give here for $150. Because again, it's not money driven. If I make it so unaffordable, then I can't really help people the way I say I want to help. Because when they see somebody desperate to live and survive, they know that they've got them by the ball, excuse my language, and they can take advantage of it. But if you really believe it, because I know what the cost is and I get it from Wellness Pharmacy in Alabama, the top, they hold the highest level of compounding in the country. They are expensive because they pay extra money for the compounding licensing and not to be screwed with by FDA and all these other people. They actually fight back against the FDA because they have the money to do so. So I know what it costs at the highest level and I still could never spend that much money. And I guarantee you it's a fraction of what I give.
Wow.
I'm going to crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Find out what that is. Cause I'll, yeah, I guarantee they, she didn't get 25,000 milligrams of vitamin C in that.
I'm sure you're right. Yeah.
I guarantee she didn't. And there's extensive training that you have to do for that because most of these places are putting it in saline. You can't put high dose vitamin C in saline. Mm-hmm. You can't do it. It's got to go in sterile water because of the osmolarity of it. It can actually put somebody in congestive heart failure. You have to know what you're doing.
You have to be so careful.
Yeah. And you have to administer it right. You can't do it too fast. So it'd be interesting to see what she received.
Do you think
I hear this all the time?
Yeah. Do you think a bunch of like here in Southern California, we have like these liquid lounges, you know, that are like, oh,
that's bullshit. Okay. First off, you can go into a place and order off the wall.
No,
that's not legitimate treatment.
Yeah. That kind of scares me because nothing is.
You're not even going to get a blood panel. They don't even do a blood panel to see where your kidney liver function is.
Right.
If you have a certain mutation of some other genetic markers, because you can't do high dose vitamin C on certain people with things. I'm like, if they're not even doing that of a CBC and a CMP, then they really don't have any clue what they're doing. They're doing hydration with minimal vitamins in there, mm-hmm. which if it's that at that level, then you can actually go to the store and buy over the counter and get the same amount. It's pointless.
Well, and I can't believe it. I mean, there's a place right up the street, and I was just curious the other day, and I go, what? I saw the sign. I came home, looked it up. I mean, it's like $280 for a bag.
It's crazy. Yeah. But they're not putting what I put in there. So I'll tell you, my basic Myers cocktail is going to be 25,000 milligrams of vitamin C, which is a shit ton, 1,000 milligrams of magnesium, calcium, B12, B5, B6, B complex, folic acid, manganese, zinc, selenium, folic acid. And my cost is high on that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But they receive all of it.
Yes.
So I guarantee you they're not getting 1/10 of that.
Well, the healing effect, you're not going to, I mean, at the very least, you're not going to see what you could see if you were doing it right.
And the scary thing about those clinics is there was a cancer patient with stage 3 or stage 4 cancer. The cancer is so strong at that point in time, it has developed its own antibodies. So if you don't give over 15,000 milligrams of vitamin C, because at that point it becomes a prooxidant, not an antioxidant. Okay. If they give less than that threshold, they will spread cancer because the cancer has its own antibodies. You have to know this. If they were to give somebody 13,000 milligrams of vitamin C, they would spread the cancer and feed it.
Oh, my God. Oh, boy.
You see how crazy that is?
Yeah. Yes.
Can't do that.
But not every... It's so sad. Like you said, though, most doctors are trained in what they know. Like, they're not willing to... They don't have the time. They're patient overload. Have you read that book? Dr. Alyssa Rankin? I love her.
I do. Huh?
That Mind Over Medicine book. Yeah. But just her journey.
I have it right over here.
Yeah.
Right? It's amazing.
It's so good. Her journey is just one of... She had that wake up, you know? Like of... Yeah. I can't do this. I'm burning out. I'm going into total failure myself. But just you can't care about people at the level you want to when you're running that.
Well, no, because they're addicted. Number one, they're under scrutiny. They're regulated by insurance companies. Insurance companies tell you that if you spend more than 15 minutes with a patient, they deny the claim. If you address more than two problems in a visit, let's say that there's an earache, maybe they stubbed their toe and they wanted them to check out an abscess on their butt. I don't know.
Yeah.
They have to pick two of the three. Because if they treat all three, they deny the claim because they want to make it more difficult for the patient to be treated because they don't want to have to pay So they have to come back 24 hours later and pay a second copay in order to treat the third thing. I don't know when the insurance companies became medical doctors. I don't know when pharmaceutical companies became medical doctors. And again, going back to what I said about the healthcare professionals, if you have watched yourself treat people and not get them better, why are you following that same protocol?
Right.
Amen. At no point in time did you ever need to prescribe a man-made chemical drug and make that person take it till the day they died because you never healed anything. You hit a symptom and caused another problem. It's
no
a roots. Fact.
No dealing with roots.
When people bring me blood work, I laugh. They're like, well, because I'm like, typically I do a significant blood panel. We look at that and we see what we're working with. And they're like, well, I just had my blood done by my primary care. I'm like, okay, send it to me or bring it in. We'll look at it. Every time, CBC, CNP, and a lipid panel. What mm-hmm. the hell is that going to tell me? Zero.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Doesn't tell me anything.
We don't waste our time on those kinds of tests either, or money.
It's so stupid. It doesn't do anything. If your cholesterol's high, it needs to be high. Give me a break. It's a body reacting and adapting. Like, stop. But they will not believe that. They will not. They argue with me all the time about it.
Hmm.
I said, well, here's the thing. Our mutual patient has been off your cholesterol medication for 4 months without you knowing, and his blood pressure is 115 over 74. How about that?
Yeah. So what do you do with that, huh?
Yeah. So what? Now what?
There's no arguing.
Now what? He's been on your blood pressure medication that's caused more problems and eventually caused his blood pressure to elevate for 15 years. So what is your excuse now? Mm-hmm. How did we get him down to this naturally in 3 weeks? And you've been making him pay money out of his pocket, which accumulates to what, over 15 years?
You know, my favorite, I remember on one of these talks we had maybe a month ago, we were talking about that book by Dr. Alyssa Rankin, The Mind Over Medicine. And in that part of it, when she talks about that man in Italy or Greece that was given mm-hmm. like so long to live, and he's just like, I don't even care. I'm going to go plant my vineyard and live his life.
Yeah, exactly.
And he just lives and he overcomes lives. Without doing anything. But
there's so many stories like that.
There's stories like that. But then there's the stories of like the doctors back in the day, the physicians would get paid to keep people. They only got paid when the people were well.
Right.
They were paid to keep them well. When they got sick,
they were incentivized. That was
how it used to be. Yes.
That was how they used to determine the success of a doctor and how he practiced.
Yeah. And talk
now,
about
limits. Now, when I was working urgent care, the owner of that urgent care would actually, because there's level 1, 2, 3, and 4 in insurance coding, right? Mm-hmm. Level 4, if you can get to level 4 on your coding, you get the highest reimbursement. And the physicians were told, whoever gets more like codings of number 4 has got the better shifts and the higher pay. So before the physicians would even see the patient, if somebody came in for a sore throat, they're like, soft tissue, see spine x-ray.
What?
You didn't even look at the patient or know them. And of course, they verify the insurance benefits up front at the front desk through availability. And a printout comes out to the doctor and it tells them everything that the insurance will pay for. So they do everything that they can to get to level 4 to get the higher pay. It's not based off the treatment of the patients, based off the revenue and getting the promotion and getting the higher pay and the better shifts.
Right.
I witnessed it for years.
Over and over. Yeah.
Over and over again. So it's see how that's flipped. The doctors used to get rewarded for keeping people healthy and safe.
Yeah.
So we're no longer, I tell people this all the time, I don't work in our healthcare system because our healthcare system is a sick system. I work in well care.
Sick care. Yes.
I work to keep people well. And once I get them well, I'm like, I tell people, my goal isn't to have you come here till the day you die. I'm going to get you well and we'll go out to lunch or go hang out and have dinner. And we do all the time. That is not my, I have enough people that can come in. Mm-hmm. And if they don't get results, they're not going to come back.
Totally.
No. They're not going to be pushed up to multiple specialists that do this. The infertility and stuff that I see here is insane. Mm-hmm. This whole COVID vaccine bullshit is off the charts. It's mind blowing. I'm like, wow. And the people that feed into it, we don't educate people. Like, we talk about breast cancer all the time for women. Number one killer is heart disease in this country for women.
Right.
Why do you only talk about it for men? It's crazy. Like, our system, they want people sick.
Well, that's what Joanne and I were talking about. Just, it's been nice to have a really small little discussion with Joanne, but we were talking about how insane this all is. I mean, people are waking up, but there are people who are dead asleep. And I am with you. I am super concerned. The infertility stuff over the last decade. Just the decade with my girlfriends, I'm watching people going, what is going on? And then this.
Can you imagine that? Nightmare. Never in my life growing up, nobody ever back in the 70s and 80s were like, I'm trying to get pregnant. No, nobody was trying to get pregnant. One in every two women over 27 have infertility problems. It's birth
control.
Is
that what it is?
Good.
That's the number?
Birth control. They started, like, I can't tell you how many people come in here and they were put on birth control at 10 and 11 to regulate cycles. Mm-hmm. Some people have come in here and not had a period in 15 years. And their gynecologist is like, that's great. Wait a minute. I think this menstrual cycle is supposed to clean your fertility organs every month, you idiot.
Oh my gosh.
Is that wild?
Yeah.
But it's man-made synthetic estrogen. And what is breast cancer primarily known as? Is it estrogen-based cancer?
Of course.
So your breast cancer risk goes up, ovarian, uterine cancer goes up, fibroids, all these health issues because of the man-made fibroid. Chemical.
Yep. I was on it back before I knew anything. I was on it for 3 years and after that was when I went through this huge fibroid issue. And I still suffer with it. I have one the size of a grapefruit. It's awful.
What are you doing for that?
Well, that's funny. I was talking again to Joanne about this before. That was a big discussion today, but I was just starting. I had just seen a surgeon because I'd tried a decade of high dose enzymes and I was just mm-hmm. starting to do the suppository cannabis to try to mm-hmm. shrink the tumor. And I literally had 3 days of the suppositories and I found out I was pregnant. So we stopped that. Mm-hmm. And then since I had my kids, I mean, that thing pushed out with my stomach. Yeah. And now I just look 5 months pregnant all the time. So I'm at the point of like, I don't want to do surgery, but I'm so stinking tired of 15 years of this. I don't know what to throw at it at this point.
So I'm going to send you my phone number on this chat. Okay. Yeah. And I want you to text me and I'm going to forward you some stuff personally that you probably should try. But I'll tell you right now, I would actually suggest you taking have you ever heard of Argentin 23?
I've heard of it.
It's a hydrosol silver, the purest nanoparticle of a colloidal silver. I've had patients come to me that have had chronic yeast infections, for instance, for 25 years. And okay. to the point to where they would go, if they were lucky, 1 to 2 days without yeast infections. And they finally found me. And then in less than one day doing my regimen, I'd have them actually like kind of douche with Argentin 23. And then I'd have them soak a tampon in the Argenta 23 and leave it in there for an hour, pull it out and do that 3 times a day. After one day, that's gone. I have never had it again. But it kills viral, bacterial, fungal. There's something not right there. Okay. And it will help kill fibroids. And there's some other stuff I'm going to send you that you should do. Have you done any IV treatment?
Not IV.
Have you ever done
castor oil? I've done like topical and then like high
dose. EMF. Dosing. Have you ever done pulse electromagnetic field therapy?
I'd have, yes. We have a PM.
Infrared sauna, far infrared sauna.
Yeah.
Those are going to be good. Try the silver, high dose vitamin C, glutathione. I'm telling you, it'll go away.
That's why I'm holding on. That's why I haven't done the surgery. Level.
Surgeries are never, because if you go and surgically remove it, okay, it's going to come back because we're not fixing the root cause.
Well, and I'm all about that. And it's like, I know that. I'm just so stinky. And to be honest, I have not thrown the kitchen sink. I've done many things throughout the years, but I've never like solely made it my focus because life.
Yes. Well, you're busy. So you have a high amount of stress.
My stress has gone up. I mean, obviously, since having my little twins, it's hard. And myself.
How old are they?
Vomited. They're 2.5.
Yeah. So you're busy. Yeah.
It's crazy, but I'm tired. I'm telling Joanne, like, I can't fit in my clothes. I'm this skinny person who's kind of fit with his stomach. It's awful.
And you know what that does is that causes more emotional stress because you don't feel good.
Of course. It's awful.
So we fix it. So, but remember, I tell people this all the time. I have so many patients. I check you for Lyme disease too, by the way. Just going to throw that out there. I would check you. Most people don't know how to check for it. I'd look for Lyme disease, but, on a serious matter, people that come in here and they have, it's not fat, it's inflammatory responses, but on the scale, it'll show as weight, by the way. So when they start getting treatment here, I can show you multiple pictures of people transforming. They're losing inflammation, not body fat, because they'll be very strict on themselves. They're eating a plant-based diet. They're doing this, they're doing that. Obviously, you eliminating sugar is a huge deal. I bet you have high amounts of candida. You would have to even have fibroids there. But anyway, they within months will drop 30 pounds in like 6-8 weeks and not too fast or too drastically because you're healing and killing and starving out all these other underlying issues.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, you have to do it.
I have that going on for sure. I cannot lose. I've gained 20. I can't lose the 20 pounds since the kids, and this is not like me. It's like I'm out of my body. It's like,
And it's but see, that frustration causes more of an inflammatory response, and emotional stress is the worst.
I know.
But so see, what you have to do is like, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel. You're going to get there.
Thank you.
I believe everything happens for a reason because I was sitting in here with my patient, Aaron, the one that was in the background earlier. Mm-hmm. And Aaron, I've been seeing for 6 years. He is a glioblastoma survivor. Mm. This type of glioblastoma never been documented. Somebody living over 3 years. I've been seeing him for 6 and it's gone. And he's a case study at Shands and we don't even tell him what we're doing. Mm. And we do now he's just on maintenance. I see him once a month just as a preventative. Versus 3 times a week like before. And he's doing awesome. Like he's a walking miracle and he's 42. And this was his second time with it because he went through traditional healthcare the first time and it came back with a vengeance because chemo and radiation caused more cancers. But anyway, he's a perfect example. Like you get better, but you have to attack the source and the cause. But emotional stress, he knows his brain cancer is brought on from his mental stress at his high.
Oh, sure.
Stress job. Like he'd get headaches and they progress to migraines and then here it came, right?
Oh, I will, if you don't mind, I will definitely be hooking up with you.
Yeah, I sent you my phone number.
Need some help. I have it. I even wrote it down too. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll share. So just text me and say, hey, this is me. And then I'll forward you stuff just to listen to and look at. And it's anything I'm going to tell you to do can never possibly ever cause any more problems.
Well, sure.
There's no side effect or anything that could be done. It's literally a very basic protocol. So I love to train with doctors out of Germany, primarily Diedrich Klinghart. And, you know, I obviously follow John Bergman significantly.
Right.
He's brilliant and knows his stuff, too. But not many doctors in the States. So John Bergman, Mitch Ginn, that's here out of Florida. He sits on the pharmacy board, but he's got a phenomenal. He's like world renowned IV guy. But mainly out of Germany because they treat with the incentive to heal people and keep a well population.
Do you know what the crackdown's been on those treatments like in other countries? Is Germany getting nailed?
No.
They're still pretty free?
They're pretty free. And actually, I have a guy here, Colin, right now. They're going in front of the Supreme Court again to try to make them recognize ozone therapy as a form of treatment here. And I would actually recommend ozone therapy for you like nobody's business.
We have an ozone machine.
So anytime that there's any chronic disease, illness, cancer, there's a depletion of oxygen to the cells.
For sure.
Only time cancer can become cancer is if there's not an oxygen-fed source and it becomes a glucose-fed source. But anyway, so Colin has been here for about a month from Germany. They're hoping that I will be the hub for the state of Florida. And they're fighting for them because I do ozone in my office. I legally do it, but I have people sign a waiver. I cannot legally tell somebody ozone can heal or do anything. I could say it can assist with your well-being.
Right.
But there's, since the 1700s, it's been used in Germany. That's where it was originated from, with multiple scientific papers written and data done. So they're fighting back to make them recognize it as an actual medical treatment that should be covered by insurance companies and recognized by doctors and said to patients, this can cure and heal you. Because they can.
How do you administer ozone?
I do it intravenously.
Okay.
I literally will take 60 cc's of blood, and then I mix it with the exact same dosing of ozone, 60 cc's of ozone, mix it back and forth, and put it right back into the vein. And it saturates all the cells. And it's huge.
Yeah.
People within seconds will start feeling better. It'll knock out the flu, COVID, anything.
Yeah.
And then I do the Argentin 23 intravenously as well.
Which is
kill the flu virus in an hour. Like that, I do it all day long.
Wow. Okay, well, I have your number. I'm going to text you if you don't mind.
No, text me, and then, I think it's great. I'm going to be in California in June, by the way.
Are you?
I'm going to be in Oceanside.
Oh, yeah, we're like 20 minutes from there. Maybe I'll have
to
come with you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll be there for a week.
How does that work?
I don't know where I'm staying. So my daughter actually is being featured in a soccer tournament there. She's a junior in high school.
Cool.
We're going for her soccer, but I do have family. I was born in LA.
Oh, cool.
And I have family in like Santa Clarita, Sacramento, and some other places. So I'll meet up with them, but we're going to be staying in Oceanside. I'm not sure where.
Wow.
So if you're local, we should get together.
We're like a 25 minute drive. We're That's Orange nothing. County. No, we're right there.
Yeah.
We're right before you hit the power plant where we come down.
Yeah.
So awesome. I'll send you a text when we're done here, but
yeah,
thank you. I'm really glad. Gosh, you guys. Well, I got to pick up my dogs from the groomer, but I'm going to hook up.
And
with
I have
you.
A patient coming in.
Great.
This
Joanne
is good.
And Joanne, it was so good talking to you. I really appreciate your spirit. And that was just lovely.
Thank you. I don't know why I'm not showing up, but anyway, hi everyone.
And hi.
Joanne's amazing.
You're amazing, Bridget. I'd like to send to you. I don't know if you want more patients. I've got a friend with really severe Lyme disease.
Mm. Oh gosh, yeah, I love to help them because, you know, Lyme disease is very, I'm very passionate about it because on average people go about 15 years misdiagnosed and it's very detrimental. So I think, yeah, please take my number and share it with anybody that you feel can, you know, benefit from this.
Joanne, do you have the chat up? Can you see Bridget's?
Yeah, I see her.
Okay. And can you see her number too over in the chat?
I do, and I've already looked up her website.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I'm going to get up right now, too.
And by the way, it's very basic and generic because I'm not trying to
put
too much out there. So
that's all we need. That's all we need, a way to get to you. Thank you.
Yeah. All right,
ladies,
you guys have a great day.
Love you guys. Talk to you soon.
Bye.